Welcome to the Millionaire Mindcast, where we broadcast weekly interviews with millionaire minds from across the globe to empower you on your journey of unlocking a rich and fulfilling life. It's time to unleash your millionaire within. Now, here's your host, Matty A.
What's going on, guys? Matty A here. Welcome into today's show. I got an exciting show for you guys because we're going to be breaking down an exciting investment opportunity. My most, I would say, exciting investment that I made in 2020, syndicating two laundromats, and why these investment opportunities are going to be a lot more prevalent and frequent in the coming years, and how you guys can be taking advantage of this in your own market, whether it's laundromats or other businesses. Because of the pandemic, because of the pressure and a lot of the hardship that's been put on small businesses, there is going to be buying opportunities to buy stable or to buy tenured, long-standing businesses for pennies on the dollar. Whether it's the business owner just saying, all right, I'm done. You know, this was my reason to exit the business and they're just at the end of their career and want to get out. Or this is, you know, people that financially cannot afford to keep their business in operation, but it's got a great, strong business model. That's going to create a lot of unique buying opportunities for investors like you and me all around the country to go out and pick these investment opportunities up and polish them back up and bring them back up to where they are capable of and cash in big and benefit from those returns in a very big way. So we did it through a syndication and pulled a bunch of investors' funds and closed the deal, right? But there are different ways that if you're somebody that wants to buy these outright or you want to invest in a syndication like ours and you want to know more about what our laundromat deals look like, text the word deals to 844-447-1555. You can get on my list. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. We talk all things wealth building each and every week on this channel to help you on your journey to unlocking financial freedom. And I figured laundromats and this investment vehicle would be fun to break down and kind of give you guys an idea as to why we like this investment, and how you can potentially explore these opportunities in your market, knowing that businesses are extremely profitable when run well. That's the key there, right? You got to run a business like a business. And unfortunately, a lot of small business owners don't do that, right? They're a slave to their business. They don't run it like a business. And they ultimately just own a high paying job working for themselves, or sometimes not even a high paying job. And that ultimately doesn't create true wealth and unlock financial freedom unless done properly. But these are going to be opportunities that other people are not looking at. And this is going to create, right, some good upside for individuals like you that are out there, that are active, that are seeking out these opportunities. So I figured I'd bring this conversation to the podcast today. It's going to be a fun one. If you're new here, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. If you enjoy these videos, if you're watching this on YouTube, all we ask is that you hit that like button, subscribe to the channel. If you are listening to this on the podcast, please just share it with a friend, a family member, somebody else that you know would be interested in something like this, so we can continue to help and impact people on their wealth building journey with this free and valuable information. So with that being said, I just want to say thank you and shout out to all of you who've been texting us. If you haven't hit us up and you're not in our text community, 844-447-1555, reach out, say what up. With that being said, let's dig into today's episode with myself and my business partner of Lava Laundry, Mr. Mike Nerby. What's going on, guys? Matty A here. In today's video, we are going on a little road trip. I'm going to take you guys on an exclusive tour and then break down an exciting, sexy new investment opportunity that we just closed on. And this is an investment in something that I've never owned in my portfolio before, which is why I think out of all the investments I've made in 2020, this is the one I am most fired up about. And being that this channel is all about real estate, investing, personal finance to help you on your wealth building journey, I wanted to take you guys through the process of how we found this investment opportunity, how we put together the deal on this investment opportunity, and then the returns and the numbers on this investment opportunity, so that way you can go out and capitalize on these investments in your market too, because these are the gems that nobody is looking for, and they are in every market all around the country. What are they? We're going to talk about it coming right up. Okay, so when I said sexy investment opportunity, I'm sure laundromats didn't come to mind. Yes, I just said laundromats, and that is what we are going to be breaking down for today's investment opportunity. When I show you what kind of diversification, what kind of insulation, and what kind of returns in cash flow laundromats as business investment vehicles can provide you, I think you're going to be a whole lot more excited about the opportunities that are going to be out there, especially with the market and the challenges that many business owners are facing right now. There's going to be a lot of these types of deals that ultimately you might be able to buy for pennies on the dollar with little to no money down. So before we dig into today's interview to talk about laundromats as an investment vehicle and how to analyze these deals and what due diligence you should be doing and ultimately what kind of returns you can expect, I want to go ahead and give you guys a quick little tour.
Wanted to jump into more of the details for you guys because we know a lot of people are interested in investing in laundromats, the fact that they are great investment vehicles, but how great are they? So today I'm going to be asking the expert, my business partner, Mr. Michael Nerby, and of course the CEO of Lava Laundry, why the laundromat space, Mike?
Yeah, so, you know, we're very familiar with real estate, both you and I, very active in that space. But I think both of us have always had a knack for adding other pillars of cash flowing assets into our portfolio. And so about 4 years ago, I had started the thought about what businesses could we tackle that would be fairly easy to run, that are Amazon proof, mainly service based, and something that might be overlooked. And a lot of small businesses have older folks running them and that are retiring and don't have a sharp edge. And the laundry mat space is ripe for a lot of this because there are a lot of owners out there just underutilizing a lot of these assets. And we really like laundry because it's a cash business. It's easy to run. You don't need a lot of employees. There's not a lot of inventory. With a little bit of marketing, you can really drive the business to go a long way. And then as we come into more of this 21st century laundromat, the pickup and delivery space is really growing right now. And that's the gap between where you have the high volume, low margin, the folks that are doing the hotels and the sheets. That space is already covered, but what is really like a blue ocean opportunity is the high margin direct to consumer, in which laundromat is posed to do really well because you have everything already to do all that laundry. So there's a lot of reasons why I like laundry, but those are just a few why I ended up landing on this particular space.
And it's funny, right? We talked about investing in businesses and vehicles that are somewhat recession-proof. And how has the laundromat space weathered the storm of the 2020 pandemic?
Yeah, great question. So, I think everybody who's a small business owner or in real estate was nervous when we were in February and March and April. In our particular area in Northern California, you definitely saw a big pause in April and May. Like it was like people were trying to figure out what was going on. And then it was an absolute disaster for, you know, a lot of small businesses, you know, salons, bars, gyms. A lot of these people really are having a hard time. And fortunately, in the laundromat space, we've chosen a business that is essential. So that really helps us to keep the doors open, which is great. But then you still got to ask yourself, how many customers are still going to come in, even if they're in a pandemic environment or a recession for that matter? And just some quick numbers, you know, our woodland opportunity, net income went down 5 to 7%, which really wasn't that bad. And now we're having, 3 weeks ago, we had our best week ever. So you can see from, our low in about May, we're right back and doing better than ever. And then in our two Tracy locations, income never went down. And in fact, income today is better than what it was when we were evaluating that deal earlier this year in April and May. So I feel confident as far as the pandemic goes. And, there's some literature out there and research that shows that, it's fairly recession resistant, right? We don't have anything that is going to be quote unquote recession proof, in my opinion. But we do have folks that, they don't own a washer and dryer. And if there is a recession, they're not going to go out and buy one. And so they're going to have to continue to come in to do laundry on the coin op side. And then on your drop off and pickup side, you've got higher income earners who will still see the value for the time saved. And we still feel really bullish about that opportunity too, even in a recessionary environment.
So looking at some of the insulation that is provided in this business model is something that obviously we love about the laundromat space. You talked a little bit about when you were analyzing this opportunity, how to put a value on a laundromat. A lot of people may be looking at laundromats for opportunity. What is the process you went through in terms of putting a value on a laundromat business, and what actually gets accounted for in that analysis?
Yeah, great question. And it's a huge topic, which we could spend, a whole course on, basically. You know what I mean? Like, really talk for weeks about how to underwrite laundromats, and not just laundromats, but small businesses. And there's a few key items that you want to recognize when evaluating a laundromat specifically. And the first one is the quality of the lease. So if you're not going to buy the real estate and be the owner of the dirt in the building, you really have to understand what you're signing and what you're getting into, so that way you can protect your investment. Because at the end of the day, that lease becomes your asset. Because if you have a short lease, you don't have a long runway in order to get your capital back. So when we're underwriting the deal, we want to look first for a long lease. And really the golden lease for us is a 10-year lease with 2 5-year options, and then you have moderate increases per year is really what you want to build in. That's really just a high level. And then number two, you want to look at, location is huge, right? So we talk about that in real estate, but also in business. And when you're, quote unquote, brick and mortar, you want to have great signage. You want to have great natural traffic from people using amenities in the area. You also want to have great driving traffic, so that way you get eyeballs on the business. And also you want to be in a strategic location that, quote unquote, isn't, too hood, but isn't too fancy. You want that nice borderline area where we can draw in a large demographic for the coin op side, but then also pick up business from the drop off and pick up from our higher income earner. So location. And then number three is the age and quality of our equipment. So, how old is the water heater? How old is our electrical panel and all the electrical wiring? And then most importantly, what's the age and quality of all of the machines in there, our dryers and our equipment? So when we're looking at evaluating a laundromat and putting a number on a price that I feel confident is going to be a good investment, you got to look at those three things first. And then you can really determine where you want to go. And where you go from there, in general, just high level, is you're going to buy on net income. And, the lower the multiple is obviously better for the buyer. The higher the multiple is better for the seller. And in our particular area in Northern California, in this valley area around Sacramento, if we can buy a laundromat at 3x net income, I really see that as a win, or under, obviously, if it's an established existing business. And then in other areas, it varies. So on average, you're looking at somewhere between 2 to 6x the net income. And that lastly will bring me to where you want to verify this net income, because you want to pull all those financials just like you would on a real estate transaction, 24 months P&L, 2 years tax returns. And then in the laundromat space, what's specific is our coin and cash count. because you want to verify how much cash is coming in every other day and how much coin is coming in. So that way you can really get down to that net number after you take out all the expenses, rent, and things like that.
So you guys heard a little bit about in terms of some of the variables that help you come to a conclusion of value, maybe where on that scale that business may fall. With there being maybe more of a heavy lift in the value add, you might see a much lower multiple versus one that is completely turnkey, remodeled, dialed in, not a ton of upside to be captured in terms of revenue or operations. It might be valued at a much higher multiple, but also making sure that you're taking into account real precise and intentional due diligence to verify all of those things, because that's how you're going to, one, protect, of course, the income stream and the business in general. What are some of the red flags people should be keeping an eye out for that could potentially harm the business or be a big headache moving forward that sometimes get often overlooked?
Yeah, great question. So you really want to look at a couple of things for red flags. Obviously, in every transaction, if you're underwriting it, you're doing your due diligence, you want to have your senses up looking for any abnormal things in the financials. And what you want to look for is really like a low operating ratio. So really in the laundromat space, you should be, if you're doing things right, getting to like the high 40% ratio, you know, so if every dollar comes in, you should be taking home, you know, 40 plus cents. And if you're looking at this deal and you're finding that it's really not bringing in a lot of net income based on the expenses, that would be a red flag for me, or something to dive in deeper. Why is that? Could we change things? Could we more optimize it in order to make it more of an opportunity? But it definitely be a red flag for me. I'm looking at your high fixed expenses. So our employee cost is gonna be really high, our rent cost is gonna be really high, and then our utility. Those are the top three things in a laundromat that and probably a lot of small businesses where you're gonna be spending the majority of your expenses. And so if we're looking at those fixed costs like rent, if rent is on a schedule where it's just going to be really draining a lot of the cash flow, then you want to be definitely really hesitant. If you're looking at the financials on another note and you're seeing that, you know, let's face it, in the laundromat space, it has a reputation for better or worse, right? So you don't really know what kind of owners you're going to come into contact with. And so you really want to do your diligence on, you know, what are they reporting on taxes versus what is the business actually bringing in? Is there a large discrepancy there? Why is that discrepancy there? And really making sure you figure out why that red flag is there would be really important to me. And then really red flags on the equipment. So if we've got a lot of older equipment, you really got to prepare yourself as an operator to budget in a larger repair expense, because with older equipment is going to come a little bit of a headache maintaining that stuff. So make sure you factor that in as well.
Yep, absolutely. Taking into account your rehab budget, your rebranding budget, those are all things that are going to help you. And you want to bank those numbers into your analysis, because those are going to be the things that help you become an outlier to your competition in particular markets, because it is somewhat of an archaic space and it does have that reputation. That's also a great opportunity, like Mike said, to do certain things and account for those things on the front end. So that way, as you go and execute them, you really get to capture the value that you're creating by standing out from the pack in terms of the experience, in terms of the brand, in terms of the actual service and value that you're creating for your customers. And we wanted to give you guys a quick rundown of these two laundromats in Tracy that we just purchased. How did we come across this deal, Mike?
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways in the laundromat space where you're going to find opportunities. Obviously, you can go direct to owner and have some success. But in my experience, that it's kind of like the apartment space. A lot of the brokers know a lot of the owners, and a lot of the distribution companies are already selling equipment to everybody in the market. And so you can really cut out a lot of time by going directly to the people who are already having conversations with owners. And if you position yourself as the person who is actively buying, actively looking for new opportunities, wanting those renovation projects, not scared of, you know, the monster and the zombie laundromat, basically, or even telling them, really, here's my criteria and this is what I'm looking for. How we found those opportunities in Tracy was through broker relationships, through the distributor and also through some local brokers that we had done business with before. And I think that moving forward is still a really viable space in order to find other opportunities. Obviously, it's like every broker out there is different varying levels of quality. And sometimes when opportunities hit the market, it's similar to the real estate space. It's already been shopped. It might be overpriced. And so really having those key relationships, you can pick it up when it's before on market, then that's going to be more advantageous for you as a buyer.
Yep. Thinking about those channels, right? Or maybe in terms of a fishing analogy, you know, where are you casting your line and what fish may be in that pond? And whether it's a broker, whether it's going direct to the seller themselves, right? Or through another channel, those are some ways that you're going to come across these kind of opportunities. And ultimately, if this is a vehicle of, you know, investment that you're looking at in terms of building wealth, moving forward, generating income, moving forward, then think of this overall lead generation approach and strategy as a farm, right? You're going to be planting seeds with all of the players, whether it's the owners, whether it's the brokers, whether it's the distributors, planting seeds that you're a player, that you're looking for those kind of opportunities, and then consistently staying in touch with those individuals, or as the farmer would, watering those seeds over and over and over until you look up and you've got a farm full of crops that are starting to bear fruit and opportunity, and you're the main person that those individuals are thinking of. And that's where Mike, right, and Ma the Laundry are getting first look at a lot of these opportunities, because they have consistently been planting seeds, nurturing those relationships, staying in touch with them. And if and when those opportunities bear fruit, they're the first one to pick it. So that is where you're going to get kind of that edge against your competition. Now, in terms of how did you fund this opportunity on these two laundromats, and really our model for how we're buying laundromats moving forward, how was this funded?
Yeah, so the one in Tracy, we brought a little bit of our own capital to the table, but for a large part of it, we syndicated the opportunity. And so we opened it up to accredited and non-accredited, sophisticated investors. And so we raised a certain percentage of the down payment, and then we had the seller finance that other half of the financing as well. It ended up being a model that is really going to make sense for us in Tracy and on other opportunities we see moving forward as well.
Yeah, it's why I like this one and why it was exciting was, one, yes, there's always going to be traditional financing channels that you could go through. Small business administration loans, other types of funding products that are out there for purchasing businesses. But when you can find a burnt out seller that ultimately has been operating and working in the business for so long, and really why they have probably gotten into business for themselves is to unlock financial freedom and collect passive income at the very end of all of that hard work. When you can get a seller that's willing to carry paper and really take on a lot of the financing, and you just have to come up with a smaller chunk for a down payment, that minimizes a lot of your out-of-pocket expenses, which is the beauty of creative deal structuring in businesses like this. So that's how we ultimately went about doing this, where the seller was going to carry a good chunk of the loan, which will be repaid over a certain and agreed upon time frame under certain terms with interest rates and things like that. And then the remaining down payment that the seller required, we went out and ultimately syndicated those funds, pooled investors' money together, gave them a preferred rate of return that they're going to be making on their money while we go through the process of optimizing the business and getting it into a position where then we can go to a long-term debt holder like a small business administration that can put in long-term financing. And that's ultimately almost doing a BRRRR strategy on a business. So really exciting in terms of knowing there are different ways that you can structure and fund opportunities like this, many times with little or none of your own money. Let's talk about the returns, right? You got it funded, or if you're going to get other individuals to invest in the deal with you, what kind of returns are we talking about and should people be expecting on, let's just speak to the Lava Laundry examples?
Yeah, so I think it was an interesting experiment because, you know, I've helped raise capital for other real estate projects, you know, flips and syndications on apartment buildings. And I think this was interesting for myself, the Lava team, and for you, Matt, because, you know, how do we evaluate the risk profile for a business versus, you know, a real tangible asset? And so we really wanted to create a structure around this business that was really appealing for investors, but also fair in that we knew that it was a higher risk profile than, you know, a real tangible asset. And as we really kind of hashed things out and came together on what we wanted to offer the investors, I really think we landed on a model that is fair for both sides. Yep. Because it has the right incentives built into it for the general partnership side, and then also gives a really a good upside to the LPs as well. And so what we ended up landing on is pretty straightforward. You get, you know, a preferred return, okay, and then you get 85 cents of every net dollar until you get that preferred return and all your capital back, and then we split the business between the general partnership and the LPs, 50-50. And so really the general is motivated to get to that end goal, which would be splitting the business 50-50. And then the limited partners really win because we're motivated to get all their money back as quickly as possible. And they're really getting the lion's share of the money that is coming in the door. So that way we can get them that preferred plus that 85% until they get their money. And then in Tracy, we calculated and estimated, obviously nothing is guaranteed, but there would be a return of capital plus the preferred return somewhere in year three to four is what we were estimating. And then in that time, we were going to also consider refinancing, paying back the original investment from the investors, doing more long-term financing, whether it is, like you said, with the SBA or some other private lending institution. That way we can really take a lot of the risk off of the table for the LPs and then continue to share in the upside 50-50 as we continue to operate this business. And, you know, we have the 10-year lease with 2 5-year options. And so really we want to have our eye on the end line. How are we going to exit? And so we said to our LPs that we would consider selling or refinancing again somewhere around year 10, because if we're going to sell this business, we need to have it a nice long runway for the buyer, and having those 2 5-year options would be still appealing if they weren't able to renegotiate a new lease.
Yep. So you guys heard our structuring of this particular deal in terms of making it very appetizing for the limited partner who's going to be coming in with some capital on the down payment side of things and still giving them a very palatable return on the front end. But also the way we're structuring the payback is really de-risking it and accelerating getting them their capital back, because if this is a model, and again, you can structure this so many different ways based on what your goals are and when you want to achieve them by would dictate what strategy you back into and structure the terms of your deals on. With us, knowing that we are looking to go from 10 to 20 to however many laundromats under the Lava Laundry ecosystem and umbrella, we really want to build that momentum quickly out of the gate, which is going to get our investors good, strong, solid returns while getting them their cash back quickly. So when they do have those successful investments with us, what are they going to say? They're going to go, Mike, Matt, when's the next laundry deal that I can throw my money back into, right? So thinking about this in terms of long-term versus short-term, crockpot versus microwave are all going to be things that you may want to take into account. And we took into account when structuring the deals for Lava Laundry moving forward. So hopefully that was helpful for you guys. We didn't go into real granular. And if you guys want to see what our investment deck and summary looked like on this particular deal, you can always text me 844-447-1555 and ask about Lava Laundry. But for those who are investors and are going, man, like, this is great. I want to do this for myself. But maybe you're one of those people that's going, well, I don't want to operate it. I don't really want to be the one having to, you know, drive this opportunity, but this vehicle makes a lot of sense to me. And maybe you want to diversify, or you like these returns and you want to know about investing with us and Lava Laundry moving forward. Just text the word deals to 844-447-1555. That will get you on my investor list to be notified every time we have opportunities like this. You're going to be first to know about them, so you can truly have looks at passive income vehicles to grow your money in a way that you don't necessarily have to do all the heavy lifting on. And you're doing it with a proven company that has an established track record of going out and succeeding in this space. That's the most important thing if you're going to be looking at passive investments, is to really vet out the team, of course, vet out the opportunity, look at the market, and make sure that all of those things are aligned with what goals you're trying to achieve in the timeline that you're trying to achieve them on. So reach out to us, text deals to 844-447-1555. I know Mike is available to answer any questions that you guys may have. I'm available to answer any questions you guys might have. So reach out to us. Hopefully this was valuable for you guys, and we appreciate you taking the time to watch this until the very end.
Well, that does it for today's video. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that and found it educational. Of course, I want to keep you up to date on all of the investments that I'm involved in, but as well on this channel, we cover all different kinds of investment vehicles, knowing that there are many paths to financial freedom to help you achieve whatever it is in terms of wealth you're looking to unlock in your own life. With that being said, if you found this valuable, all we ask, share it with a friend, a family member, somebody else that can gain some value from it. Smash that like button. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel for weekly videos. And until next video, happy investing. Cheers, my friends.